This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to disseminating the Torah and Mesorah of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky and his Rebbeim. Please consider donating at eshelpublications.com to help us continue our mission.
Okay, we're holding here. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem will do the last few prokim, the last three prokim that are relevant to different terms. And then the Rambam goes off more on Barichus on content. Perek Mem Gimel, Kanav. Kanav is a Shem Mishutav. So the word wings, same thing. It's a word that has many meanings. Roiv Shitufek Mitzad Hashalom, most of it comes from a metaphor. Hanachosav is showing the first meaning of it is a kanfi balachaim pereach, wings of birds. So that doesn't require much of explanation. Kol tzipa konav shtop hashemayim. Ve'achakein hushal lekanfis abgadim zav yisem. And then you get to the corner of the begadim. They're like the extensions that sort of come out from the edge of the begadim. And that's also called a konav. Then he says, sorry, I just have to plug this in. And then he says, Bakan Hushalik Tsavasam Yushim in the Arts of Pesar Khoizm Kamasenu. Then you have it means the far flung corners, like the Kantus Abega, that's the easy one also. Lechas Kamsa Arts, Miknafar is Mishamanu. The Oma Ibn Janach. Ibn Janach was a very early grammarian. I know today grammar is not popular, but Ibn Janach is one of the Chashva Sefer Shoshim. We have it. It's in print. It's around. I have it. And he says, "Shiyova gamkin beinyan ahester." It also means hidden, and this is going to be the key meaning. Deimelar via shema kanaftu al shai beinyan histative. So it's when you take something under your wings, you sort of hide it, you sequester it. Va'ama beferush v'le yikonif oid meirecho, which means that, over there, definitely means that. V'le yisosem imcha meirecho v'le yisalem. Over there, clearly means he will not become hidden from you. V'ze pirush noya. And this is a very good pshat. U'mimenu etzli, and this is the way I understand, v'le yigale knaf aviv. So the knaf of means the sesa. He shouldn't be exposing the hidden world of his father, which is Arias, so, you know, his father's wife. V'chein uferasta knafecha lamoscha pirshetzli prois sisrucha alamasecha. So normally we would tend to take the meaning of that word extension. It's like if I take a blanket and spit over somebody, it's an extension of me. So the people that I keep under my wings are sort of extension. But the Rambam wants to learn it from the word to hide something which I keep hidden. So he says, "Lofize yetzli hushal konav leboyes baruchem malachim." So I mean, when you have the word konav, and it use it for malachim, what exactly do we mean? So he says, "V'omer ashebolachzis tachsnofov." If Henkel, Pirusha shebolachzis tachsisu, that's by Rus. V'Henkel konav shemalachim yone hester. Al yisbein omer says, "V'shtayim yichase ponov, u'v'shtayim yichase raglov." Kloima shesibas mitziusoi. Nisteres nalemes ma'oid, v'hu panav. So it says that malachim have six wings, and the pasuk says b'shtayim yichase panav, b'shtayim yichase raglov, v'b'shtayim yoyfeif. That is the lashon of the pasuk. So what does it mean? He covers his face with two wings, he covers his feet with two wings, and he flies with two wings. Kloima shesibas mitziusoi. When it says yichase panav, means what exactly the malach is about is hidden. In other words, when you see somebody's ponim, that's a type of re'iyah where you have a direct perception of somebody. When somebody keeps his face hidden, you don't have a really good sense of the person. The Rambam had said that the word regel is used very frequently to mean in the wake of, a result of, and so on. The Malach's boss, where Malach comes from, that's also Nelam. Because understanding these what they are exactly, these malachim, is hidden. And for two reasons. First of all, because we're not terribly bright. And secondly, that which is abstract and not part of our world is not easy to understand. So the word, the two wings, quote unquote, that cover the feet and the two wings that cover the head, both of these are very, very definitely fit into this concept of hidden. But omnam omroi b'shtayim yo'ifef, when it says that he flies with two, hini osid levaya peg ve'atzmoi lomi yichsu tnu as oifus malachim. So I'll explain that later. The oifefus is actually the etzem mahusav eshlichus, the etzem asiyas eshlichus, but that belongs to us also. But akaponim, so the word knafayim is going to mean a hiding, and in this case it means every part of the malach is hidden. What he is, where he comes from, what he does, all of these are things that are ne'lamim. Okay. Next, paragraph dollar ayin. Shem Yeshutev, who shem ein hamayim, al ayin, al ein hamayim b'midba. So an ayin can mean a source, like a spring that comes from somewhere. Who shem ha'ayin aroya, ayin tachas ayin. Now, it's interesting, to us, there doesn't seem to be any common denominator between ayin in the sense of a wellspring and ayin, which is the eye. He doesn't elaborate, but I think the old days they used to think that sight works because the eyes send out rays that pick up something. In other words, the eyes was seen as a source of some sort of ray which would see the things around it. So in that case, that ayin would be a source of some wave of something would make sense. Could be, because or else the two words ayin are not that they have similar meanings or they're borrowed or metaphors. It just happens to be two words that have no shaykhs to each other. It's like gomel meaning a camel and gamal meaning to do something to somebody. It grammatically, there's no kesher really between them. So ayin and ayin in this case, also not, unless you understand ayin to mean, the way we explained it. And v'shem ayin aroya, and it's the physical sight, ayin tachas ayin. V'shem ashkocha, ayin meaning that you look after something, you are directing something. V'hu shem ashkocha omal yirmiyo kochena v'einecha simolov. Inyonu sim ashkochos cholov. So whenever you have the word ayin used in terms of Shai Kach Baruch Hu, it's always going to mean ayin as ashkacha. Voye enai v'libi sham kol ayomim ashkachos v'chavanasi k'moy shikdamnu. Tomei enai sham kecha bo. No, sorry, ashkachos bo. Enai Hashem eshoitetim ashkocha. So all these inyanim are going to be defined as ashkocha. And what ashkocha is, when it applies, and so on, he's going to speak about later. Fine. So he says, when the word ayin comes together with the word riyo chazoya, it all means perception, not sight, but grasping something. Ki kol ha'gosha hi po'alus k'ma she'edata, v'yus barach po'al, lo'y mispo'al k'ma she'avayah. So the reason why seeing can't be attributed to Ribbono Shel Olam is because seeing is an act where we're the passive partner. And in other words, the activities that we describe when we are hit, when I look at something, the sight of it strikes my eye. When I smell something, the smell strikes my nose. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can never be understood as being affected by. So we are, our sensory cells are affected by whatever is around us. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can only define active mahalchim. So Hashgach is an active mahalach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to make sure that this person is doing well, to make sure that this person is not being harmed, or whatever it is. So by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't, and the Rambam gives us the criteria, because any type of activity that is hipalos, and that's why emotions, anger, happiness, in the way we understand it in human nature, can't apply HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We become happy. Something makes us happy. We are saddened. In all these emotions, we're at the receiving end of some activity, and that's why we are affected by it. An emotion is an effect in us. There isn't no such thing by Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore we have to translate it to some sort of active type of asiya.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Isn't there an idea that sight can be pile something? For example, when Moshe Rabbeinu looked at Eretz Yisrael, there's some references that he did something, he affected something in Eretz Yisrael.
I mean, you have better ones. You have Ayin Hara. It's a halacha that you're not allowed to be Oymel HaKomas Chaveru because of the Ayin. So in as much as the Ayin has some koyach, then yes. And like it says, Ein Hashem Lekach Shom. So that is the pu'ula of Ayin. But when we're talking about the regular sight, we're always talking about just being affected. The type of thing you mentioned about ayin would probably fall under the same category. It's some sort of pu'ul of the ayin. Okay, Perik Mem Hei. Shemoya, mila mishetefes. Tia be'inyan shema ha'ozen. It could mean, hearing, the way we speak about it in physical terms. V'tia be'inyan ha'kibul. And it also means to accept. It's you accept someone's words. Omnam the inyan Hashem alei Hashem al picha v'kol nishma beisparev zaharbe. The komoye beribu gamken shemoya the inyan akibul alei Hashem al Moshe im yishmu ve'avoidu v'lachem anishma alei Hashem astorecha v'yia the inyan hayedia goya shalei sishma l'shoyne pirush shalei sedat vare. So all of these are physical maisim of hearing, listening, and so on. Now he says, the whole mila shmiya shabo b'chayka loikai, im yiroya mipshuta shal kosev shminya rishin, hu sipa ala soga, hu meiyin ashlishi. So, v'yishma Hashem v'shama sonechem, so he says it all means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu received the information. Now, there's something a little bit problematic with that. You're still going to need another piece of the puzzle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about all these things all along. We can't posit HaKadosh Baruch Hu getting new information. But he's addressing the Shmia part of it. And the shmir part of it means being tayf for something, and b'shamasur seichem kol ze asogas hameida. Now it's interesting. The same thing would be true by ayin, by re'ia, by yaras amaleinu. So how would you translate that? If it means the hashkocha then why can't you by Shmi also? In other words, why is the Rambam different by Re'iya and Shmi in that sense? If attaining the information means could be used for Shmia, why can't be used for Re'iya as well? And Dal Mehoch Hashgacha. V'imnir Emshur Kosa Shumayin Hasheni U'sipa L'Nuisi Yisbarach L'Tzakas Hatzoyik L'Mala Shelosei O'y Lo'yaneh L'Tzakosev Lo'yimalei Shelosei Shemoa Eshma Tzakosei V'Shemati K'chan Oni Hatei Hashem Ozuch L'Shema V'Shem Shem Mekom Azaleichem Gar Sabat Tfil Shemiah Eshemeh Oysel V'Zaharvi. So in all these cases, it's going to have to mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted and decided to act on it. So the word Shmia, it would mean in those cases, hearing something in a way that is, okay, now I'm a Kabbalist. It's very interesting. There is a nuanced difference between Re'iya and Shmia. Re'iya, I'm forced, whether it makes sense or not, but I saw it. Shmia means that you convinced me. I'm a Kabbalist. It's I agree to it. So there's interesting nuanced difference between a Naim and a Zayim in that sense. Okay, finally, last paragraph. Vini v'acha be'ila shaylois v'adimyonois v'ashayir v'tzimacha v'yivars v'kecho v'yisbach v'nyanem kulam adiv dov mehem. So he's gone through all of the terms that he feels are meant to be understood as metaphors and describes them to him in the way that that they stop being kopriel and they start becoming some sort of teichin. This is the last parak of the Rambam on those subjects. I guess he had meant to sort of first to describe them all, but every so often he gets sidetracked by an inyan that he feels is a necessary prerequisite to understand it. I guess that's the Seder Advarim. The Rambam also, it's interesting, is there any Seder in all these terms that he used over here? He defines a laundry list of terms over here, and it's hard to find a real Seder Advarim. Each one is a metaphor, and that's that. Is there some sort of arrangement? The Rambam in his Svar Mishnah Torah is excruciatingly structured in A, B, C, D, and F, and so on and so forth. So they have some sort of general sense. Different Svarim try to give a general sense, like these are all parts of the body, Kanaf, Ayin, Shemoya. They try to give a general sense of where the Rambam, what the Rambam is lumping together when he describes things. I don't know. It's not an easy sell. Still difficult to understand that. It's also that he devotes like a parak to each one, and each one. I mean, he could have made like a list, like Ibn Jinnah has his Roshim. He could have also made the list of the metaphors with a little box each one, what it means. And that's it. Some of the prokim he goes off on tangents and says, Meir. It's all in the end that I don't know what to make of it. I guess I'd like to. I don't want to start Perek Memvav, but we'll talk a minute or two about Memdalad and Memhei. When it talks about Shmi and Ayin, it is something that is, I guess, relevant kind of to Yoma. All Yom Tovim are characterized by they're characterized by Re'iya. Liros for Liros, that defines the Yantiv. Rosh Hashanah, there is no Liros Liros. It says Mefurish. I mean, it is like that. And it says in Shacharach that you should not say that on Ve'ena Necholah Liros Liros, because there's no mitzvah Re'iya anyway. And the only mitzvah we have is Shmia. So it's very interesting that all the Yom Tovim, we have a mitzvah Re'iya, And Rosh Hashanah, we have Moriah, we have Shmiah. It's also called Kesel Yom Chageinu. It's a yontif that's hidden. So all sorts of remazim that the yachas is Shmiah to Riyah. And the Rabbi Rabbi Chaya mentions in one place about how Shmiah is more chashuv than Riyah. And he says if somebody is if somebody is machris somebody else, listen to me kuloi. If you misame somebody, you give the demei ayin, and if you make somebody to cherish, you give the demei kuloi. So he points out. So you see that Shmiah is more chashuv than Riyah. He says it in the pasuk, doesn't explain, doesn't elaborate much more on it. There's also Rabbi Yoina, very famous Rabbi Yoina, that he speaks about what it is that it says a person who's mekabel on himself to listen to the mechichim and the chacham ador, instantly he goes out from an afela to a gadol and so on. So what's the we tend, rightfully so, to think of Riyah as being a much stronger chush, much more important. When we speak about something precious, we speak about bavas enoi. We speak about a person's apple of the eye. So obviously there's sort of a balance between the two. There's a maila in Shmiah, there's a maila in Riyah. So the maila of Riyah is as much as we are teifis something mitzad us. When we say we see it, that's the greatest feast a person has, and that defines the my greatest interaction. Shmiah means I'm relying on you. The shmiah we're talking about here is not a direct shmiah. If I hear a table scraping against the floor, that's a get of re'iyah. Those are the type of things a blind man would use to define where something is. So anytime Shmiah is defining the sound of something, not speech, that's like Re'iyah. The Shmiah we're talking about is where we hear someone else's words and we accept it like testimony. In other words, we're relying on somebody else's. So L'shmoya b'kol Hashem means I am subordinating myself and listening to my Shalom. The Shmiah has no limit to where it can take a person because he's limited to the amount of wisdom in the world. If somewhere somebody has the knowledge, understanding, or whatever it is, and therefore I can latch onto it, and I can follow the advice. If I'm investing on my own understanding, so it could be very, very severely limited. It could be very non-productive. If I choose to follow a very wise person, then I'm basically becoming like him. I'm becoming part of him. So the union of Shmiah allows for a person to latch on to the Ribbono Shel'olam, to latch on to an infinite amount of emes. So starting with Shmiah, Re'iyah is the emes that I have accepted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I have processed it into a format that I see it. I process it into a format that I feel the inyan. So it's a higher darga, but the opening, it starts with Shmiah. So when you're building Rosh Hashanah versus Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah is the two great moments of Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos. Rosh Hashanah was a b'china of Shmiah, and on the first half of the first day, there was no light. And the day came in the second part of that day. The bracious is a maimer, that means that there was a Shmiah on the first day, and Matan Torah was Atar Reis Ladas. Kadosh Baruch Hu opened up all the worlds. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us knowledge, understanding, and so on. So, in the building of a person's kaima, So definitely what we know and understand is our crown achievement. But the ability, how far we can go, depends on how much we're willing to listen. If we're willing to listen to Kol Hashem, then there's no limit to how far we can go. And we can take every piece that we know we're supposed to do, we can take it and begin the process of assimilating it, of learning it, understanding it, knowing it, and so on. So that's the mile of Shmi over here. Akapanim, as far as the Rambam goes, it's just both of them are just the same type of metaphor, and that's that. Okay, so Mitzvah Hashem, next week we would start Perek Mem Vav Mitzvah Hashem. Ksivach Sima Taiva, good Kiven Shiar.
Good
job,
good Shabbos.
Okay,
good Shabbos. Shabbos. Good Shabbos.